Today is day 8 of the Great Turtle Race. 11 female leatherback turtles equipped with satellite tags are, as we speak, competing in a slow-speed race on their regular migration from Costa Rica to waters near the Galapagos Islands. With me now is Dr. James Potilla of Drexel University, also known as Dr. Turtle. He is sponsoring Drexelina, one of the racing turtles, and Dr. Spatilla is also founder of the Leatherback Trust. Welcome to our show.
Pleasure.
So who's ahead right now?
Well, Stephanie Kobertold is ahead at the moment.
And how's your turtle Drexelina doing?
Drexelina's guarding the beach. She hasn't left yet.
Oh, really? So she's in last place?
Well, yeah, you might say that. But we like to think of her as being in first place on guard duty.
I see. Well, this isn't really a race. Is it just part of their annual migration?
Yeah, this is their annual migration after they lay their nests on Playa Grande in Costa Rica. Then they migrate over to the Galapagos and into the South Pacific.
So the important thing here is that you are trying to call attention to the leatherbacks. Are they in danger of disappearing?
Yes. The leatherbacks in the Pacific, for example, have declined from 90-plus thousand females to about less than 5,000, maybe 3,500. And in the East Pacific, you know, Mexico, Costa Rica, along our side of the Pacific, there are fewer than probably 800 of the females left.
Now, these are animals who've been on Earth for 65 million years. So why are they suddenly endangered now?
Well, they're endangered from historically from three reasons. One, people used to take their eggs, every egg that they could find. So a generation of taking eggs means no new turtles. And then secondly, they've been caught in fishing lines, long lines in the Pacific where they set for swordfish and tuna, and also gill nets. And about 10% of the leatherbacks are killed in long lines a year, and we suspect another 10 or 12 in various gill nets, entanglement nets along the coast.
And I'm assuming that there's also garbage in the sea and other things.
Yeah, there's plastic in the ocean. They eat jellyfish. The leatherbacks eat jellyfish. And so if they see a plastic bag or any kind of thing in the ocean, they may eat that, and that can clog up their gut.
Is the spot they're headed to in the Galapagos Islands, or the waters anyway, protected? Will they be safe there?
Well, it's theoretically protected, yes, from fishing activity, although there is fishing that goes on both along the migration and in the Galapagos, but there's increased protection. And I didn't get to mention the third sort of reason for their decline, and that is development on nesting beaches, people building houses and hotels on their beaches, and then they don't come back.
Why did people take their eggs? Do they want to eat them, or are these souvenirs?
To eat them. Local people would eat them for an additional source of food or protein. And then they became popular, and they're considered an aphrodisiac for men, and so a big leatherback egg might be the biggest aphrodisiac. And they also were used even in baking in Costa Rica. I know, I'm sure in other countries, large bakeries would use truckloads of eggs as a substitute for chicken eggs. They make great cakes and cookies, but not too good for the turtles.
But I always wonder why all these endangered species seem to be aphrodisiacs. It says something about human nature, doesn't it, more than about turtles or rhinoceroses and their horns or some other animals.
I think if we could get the neuroscientist you just had on before us figuring that out, that would be helpful. There's some strange sort of thing in human psyche that a big, strong, or rare animal is somehow an aphrodisiac. And since we've, for most of our evolutionary history, have had a problem of producing enough humans, anything that gives us the impression of being more productive seems to be important to us.
Do we know why they migrate from Costa Rica to the Galapagos every year?
That's an interesting question. We discovered, Frank Palladino and myself, Frank's at Purdue and Steve Morreale at Cornell, put satellite transmitters on turtles from 92 to 96, and they went pretty much as these turtles are going, pretty much to the Galapagos and then spread south. We've now done a lot. George Schillinger at Stanford has put out lots of transmitters, and from the Galapagos, they spread out across the Pacific apparently looking for upwellings and eddies where jellyfish concentrate.
Mm-hmm. That's what they eat?
Yeah, that's what they eat.
And so they swim and then they just go look for food.
Yeah,
that's it?
Swim and look for food.
If nothing is done to help protect leatherback turtles, how much longer do you think they'll survive?
Maybe 10 years.
Really? They're that close to extinction. What about climate change? Can that hurt them? It seems to be causing so much trouble for practically everything else.
Well, climate change has two effects on them. One, as the Earth warms, we seem to be getting more El Niños in the Pacific. The Pacific's warmer, and there's less food. So our turtles come back, on average, every 4 years to lay another nest, and then the Atlantic every 2 years. And with El Niños, they just don't come back. So they're out in the Pacific longer, exposed to mortality, and they're not nesting. So that's one problem. And then the second problem will be rising sea levels. And if it rises too fast, so they don't adjust to changes in their beaches, there won't be any place to lay eggs.
Forgive me for asking such a crass question, but would their extinction be a great loss to the world? Would it disrupt the food chain or something?
Yeah, that's a good question. There's usually three reasons I give when people say, well, what's so bad about extinction? One is, we'll start with, say, the most practical. There may be some, say, medicine, a medicinal secret in leatherbacks we don't know about. They have a lot of interesting physiology with their blood, and they have an unusual skin and ability to dive and these things. So we may learn some useful physiology or find even medicines with these things for humans. And then second, losing the leatherback will probably have an important change in the food chain because they eat jellyfish, which eat baby fish, larval fish. And so that may effectively cause some changes in that food chain dynamics. That's sort of the second ecological reason. And then the third reason, I guess, is a philosophical reason. I guess we don't have the right to cause some species to go extinct any more than we have the right to do genocide.
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned earlier, they have these tags that allow them to be tracked by satellite. I guess this is something we couldn't have done in the past. Can our listeners also sign up to cheer on a turtle? I'd imagine a lot of them would want to support the leader, Stephanie Colbertle, which is obviously Stephen Colbert's
ego. Alter turtle ego, that's right. Well, you know, there's also Billy's in second place and Wendy from West Marines in third place. And, the ones that are really fun are Sapphira, which is from a grade school in California, the Bullis School. And then Genevieve is from New York, is from the Life Science Secondary School in New York City.
And people can register to cheer on a turtle at greatturtlerace.com. Also learn about leatherback turtles and what they can do to help.
You're right.
And I want to thank you so much for talking with us.
My pleasure.
Dr. James Petilla of Drexel University. Drexelina has not yet left the gate, but who knows? She may be a fast swimmer.
Yeah, she's just laying lots of eggs. She's going to produce lots of babies.
Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you. Thank you.